Jiggity chick chick chick. Oh, I almost had a cool beatbox thing going. Chickity chick chick. Damn it. I ruined it. I fucked it up, Armando.
Well, all you need is like a little DJ thing.
Oh, hold on a sec. We're doing a quick sound check here.
And I'm just, what'd you say? Can you hear me?
I need a DJ, what, like a turntable?
Oh, yeah.
Turntables?
Wicca, wicca, wicca.
You know, the DJ thing.
The thing.
The thing that DJs use.
I think they just have buttons now.
Yeah, they just push a button and it does everything. And they have algorithms that kind of just do everything. Hey, guys, what's up? Team Awesome Inc. doing a sound check. Shout out yet again to all the peeps, all the YouTube viewers, all the listeners, all you subscribers and everyone who's been tuning in. Thank you guys so fucking much. Honestly, wow. I didn't expect such a boom with the YouTubes.
Well, YouTube, that's what it does.
That's what YouTube does. You get the YouTube boom. Let's get to the shout-outs at the sound check shout-outs portion of the show. La Tuterik.
Okay.
I think it's French. Commented, said plus one sub and a heart. And that was on our Little Hours trailer reaction, because we kept mentioning the Monty Python references. And we kept like, so we got another sub from that.
Sweet.
Thank you, La Tuterik, or however you say that in French. Then Paul Damon commented, hey, nice video. I subbed, and it was after our Justice League trailer two that we didn't. Or trailer one, whatever. One we were kind of...
Yeah, we're kind of like...
We were mixed reviews on that one. We're not going to get into detail, but he liked the video and he wants us to sub back to his channel, which we did. So there, thank you for liking the video, Paul Damon.
Paul Damon.
And we have subscribed to you, and we're going to tell people to hit up your channel. Go hit up Paul Damon. All right, if you're related to Matt Damon, let us know. That's fucking cool as shit.
We don't want any jobs or anything. We just
want to
be like,
no, I just want to talk to, I just want to interview him on the podcast. I want to do a trailer reaction to his trailers with him here. How cool would that be? Or Jeff Goldblum. Just throwing that out there. Sit down with Jeff Goldblum and watch like an old trailer to The Fly and just react to it with him. That would be fucking amazing. Talk about meta. Oh my god. And he would be like, oh yeah, I remember that scene. We shot that in the middle of the night at 4 a.m. And it's like, whoa. Sorry.
Could you stop doing that? It's really quite loud.
Yeah, you're being very loud and you're nerding out too hard. He doesn't sound like that. What is that? I don't know. It just sounds like a state trooper or something. Listen, sir, you're 5 over the speed limit. I'm going to have to give you a ticket. Here we go. We got one from 3 Minutes Funny Reviews. Hello, fantastic video. This one was for, oh, God. For It Comes at Night.
Nice.
They liked our It Comes at Night trailer reaction. They want us to watch their It Comes at Night trailer reaction. So are we going to react to your reaction?
Yes.
3 minute funny reviews?
Metaverse.
Are we going to start doing like meta reviewer things? All right. 3 minutes funny videos. Sorry. 3 minutes funny reviews.
This is how the world
Check
ends.
Them out on YouTube. 3 minutes funny reviews. We're going to review their review of It Comes at Night.
Nice.
We're going to do a trailer-ception. It's going to be a reaction-ception. Holy shit, dude. This is going to be nuts. But 3 minutes funny reviews. Thank you for liking that and subscribing. And we subscribe to you guys as well. Everyone, hit them up. They got great, super quick reviews. They literally just watch the trailer and that's it. So,
no, that's what I might do if I was left to my own devices.
Just record it and be like, well, that's it. Bye.
Bye.
Instead of like going into like, you know, what we liked and like.
You should see it. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Click. 2 million subscribers in one day. Fucking YouTube. Chronopoly. Here we go. Chronopoly got to us on our Alien Covenant review, which, by the way, Alien Covenant is now in theaters. Armando Arana, we have to do a review.
Oh, sweet.
So don't worry, peeps. We will do a review.
It just seems so far off.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, right. But it's out. Alien Covenant is out. Wow. We will check it out. But Chronopoly commented saying that we're the only few reviewers that noticed the capsules that David sent out on the Creators of the Universe. He goes on to say so many people were like deer in headlights and had no idea on the end of that clip and the ramifications to the engineers below. So, yeah, we totally noticed that. How, like, because I think it was because they were coming from the top, so people thought it looked like it was a part of the ship or some
right,
shit.
Right.
Like, they thought it was some part of the ship opening up instead
just
of the...
It looked really cool.
Yeah, and they didn't realize it was, like, the... And capsules...
I think my shirt smells a little bit.
No, you're fine. You smell great.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it.
Just self-conscious, man.
No, don't be. You're fan. They can't smell you.
They can't. You can't smell me.
Can you? If you guys can smell us, leave in the comments below. That'd be weird. Anyway, Chronopoly, thank you for your comment. Thank you for noticing us noticing that. it's nice to be yes, we were very perceptive in that moment because we were geeking out, because that's kind of the last scene I wanted from Prometheus. Like the very last scene from Prometheus, I wanted it to be David and Shaw at the creator's homeworld, and I wanted to see what the fuck was going. I thought that's what the sequel was going to be,
right?
But we instead of getting a full movie, we just got like a 2-minute clip. I'm actually okay with that,
right?
That kind of like bridged a gap for me for this Alien Covenant
closure.
Yeah, it kind of gave me a little bit of closure on that. So thank you, Chronopoly. Yeah, and thank you for liking and subscribing. Oh crap! I lost the here.
Get back.
Notifications are good. Oh, and then we've got Kiana Davis, who commented after our Detroit reaction, the movie starring John Boyega. She gave us a pretty long response, but I wanted to do it justice because the Detroit trailer was like a pretty serious thing, and so I wanted to like took the time to write this big thing about it. So I wanted to give her the floor. So Kiana Davis wrote, after this riot, which happened in 67, so it wasn't the 70s or 80s, it was 1967, it's safe to say Detroit hasn't recovered. This movie, after doing research, is about the beatings and murders that happened at the motel. The riots are more of a backdrop. August 4th will be the 50th anniversary of the riots, and things really haven't changed, especially in Detroit, I'd imagine. I used to live in Chicago, and Detroit was like a sister city. It was pretty close, and we always heard stories about Detroit, and things were kind of rough over there. People, you know, the jobs and whatnot.
Yeah.
It was always rough since the 80s, since the automotive industry shut down over there. Sorry, Cannon Davis. Yeah. She goes on to say, this movie was shot last year, and there was a lot of cases of police brutality and even a riot going on during the 4 months of filming, which I didn't hear about.
Wow.
None of us heard about that. So thank you, Kiana Davis, for letting us know that. The main group of actors were saying how hard it was to film this while so much police shootings were happening. This movie is very important because so many people have no idea about this story. I think that like in the trailer, that translated really well. Because those actors, I really believe that they were afraid because they were. They were in Detroit, and while they were filming, the filming was causing riots, and it was about the Detroit riots. Right. So those actors not only were like, you know, skilled actors and they were able to emote very well, but they had something to build off of, which was real world violence. So the parallels between that story and now, it's perfect, and it needs to be told now. So thank you, Kiana Davis, for that comment. That was very well put, very well written, and I wanted to give you the time for that because that, you know, that needs to be heard, and we didn't have all the information on it. We said leave in the comments below, just educate us. So thank you for educating us, Kiana Davis.
Yes, thank you.
We greatly appreciate that, and thank you to everyone else, all the other peeps, all the other subscribers and commenters. Keep downloading, keep liking, keep subscribing, keep sending it to your friends, sharing it if you like it. Keep tuning in. We got shit coming up every day. We got good shit.
Good shit.
Team Awesome Inc.
Got some good shit right here.
Yeah, Team Awesome Inc. We got some good shit, man. I think that should be our slogan. It's our slogan currently is awesome. Guests, awesome games, awesome times, but I think it should just be, we got some good shit.
Yeah, put some billboards out.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we'll just pay for the marketing. Oh, yeah, if you guys want to hit us up on our website, yotino.podmac.com, you can send us any donations. Half of all your donations will benefit a charity, the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. Go check them out, OCRF.com. Again, OCRF.com. They're doing God's work. I'm not really religious, but I really believe in the work they're doing. If you send a donation to us, half of that donation we get, and the other half goes to the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. So it's guilt-free laughs is what we're trying to offer on the show. But if you want to just give them the money, please, by all means, go to the OCRF, the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. All right, Armando, let's do a quick check-in with you all and me here.
Cool.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good?
Yeah, doing good.
Okay.
I finally got myself to not worry or be frustrated so much.
Oh. You know,
I mean, I kind of forgot how to do that. But now I kind of.
What do you mean?
Remember.
Like, were you in the an odd phase where you were feeling a bit down?
Yeah, stressed, down, like in a rut.
I'm sorry, man. Do you have the reverse effect, like of seasonal disorder, where I get seasonal affective disorder, where I think you do too, but like everyone does. But I get it really bad. It's like when it gets really cold out and really like shitty out, I just get so miserable. But I think you might be the reverse. When it gets really nice out, I think you get kind of like depressed.
I don't think so.
Because it's like a beautiful day. It's
I don't think so. I think I have the same thing as you, but it was just really delayed.
Oh, because like, our winter was fucking weird. Yeah.
Like the winter finally got to me.
So it's just a delayed seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
In summer. Shit. Sorry, man.
It's not summer. Yet.
Is it summer?
Not yet.
When is it summer?
June.
In June?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Officially.
So we have a whole month of spring left?
Yep.
Yay. Dang. Spring.
Spring.
Well, I'm glad that you feel like things are more like centered and you feel more at peace with life.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you were going through that. I was kind of going through a rough period of time, and I've kind of been a little overworked lately. I'm not gonna lie, guys. I'm doing two jobs. I get plus this, so I'm running around like all the time, nonstop disco power pack. That's what I'm calling it. I don't know why, but it just makes sense in that moment. But I'm trying to, you know, I am taking care of myself. Don't worry, people. I'm eating properly. I'm getting enough sleep. Doing all the things that I need to do to be a functional grown-up in society, right?
Yeah. I mean, I listened to, like, an Alan Watts speech.
Oh, yeah, Alan Watts. Millennials, check out Alan Watts if you're not familiar. He is phenomenal.
Yeah, it kind of put me right.
Yeah. Alan Watts, you just listen to like he does these great lectures. They're on YouTube. You can YouTube Alan Watts lectures, and he just sort of goes on saying, you know, like, we convince ourselves that things are important, but they are not. Everything is stupid.
everything is bullshit.
Exactly. See, Alan Watts, if you're in that mood,
don't worry.
Like anyone who's depressive or you're kind of in this weird self-reflecting like period of your life, go listen to Alan Watts' lectures. They're fucking brilliant. The man is a genius. Was a genius. Is he dead now?
I don't know.
If you're alive,
all the pictures I see of him are black and white, so
stay alive, Alan Watts. If you're alive, and if you're not, rise from the grave like a phoenix and
it
save the world.
Matter.
It doesn't matter, and it does, according to Alan Watts and the fucking Buddhists. God damn it, Buddhists and Alan Watts to a lesser extent, I guess. All right, well, that's going to do it for this soundcheck shout out / check in with Mike and Armando. We're still fucked up, but we're getting better.
Yeah.
All right, and with that, let's start the shizzy.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. Loading
program. It's time for loot update, bitches. No rating. No date. Calculating. No more waiting. Loot update.
Oh, fizzy, busy, whizzy, jizzy in your pizzy. It almost sounds like dirty words, but it's not. What's going on, Team Awesome Make? We're back after that sound check and brief musical interlude. That's right. It's time for your nerd update, bitches.
Yeah.
I love that part of the song, but you're not bitches. We love you very much. Thank you for tuning in every week, every day. If there's people who tune in every day. There's people who watch every day. There's people who subscribe randomly to, not subscribe, but people who download and listen to stuff from like years ago. So it's really cool. Thank you guys
for
that. And thank you, peeps. So another shout out to the shout out we did earlier to the peeps. Did some trailer reactions, so that's part of the nerd update.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Go check them out on the YouTube. Simmer Mike, again, our YouTube channel is Simmer Mike. Like, download, and subscribe there for all of our trailer reactions, Let's Play videos, and clip reactions. We also do reactions to clips, and we will react to any of your clips and anything you send us. Just go to Simmer Mike and just leave a comment. Tell us what you want us to watch. We still got to watch.
A man getting hit in with football.
Like for 10 hours. There are videos like that. It's on YouTube. It's fucked up. Go YouTube them, guys. We're not doing a reaction to 10 hours of that shit. But what we will do is react to some stories. And we've got some awesome, delicious nerd updates, Armando Aranda, and I'm so glad you're here. First up, though May 4th has already come and gone, and by the way, a belated May the 4th be with you.
Oh, and with you as well.
Thank you. May the 4th be with our nerd brethren as well. May the 4th, happy belated May the 4th be with you. It's surprising how little new Star Wars news there has been because, you know, May the 4th be with you and all that shit. If you have any social media account, you're already undoubtedly aware of this. However, having said that, there was this little tidbit from an interview Entertainment Weekly conducted with The Last Jedi director, Rian Johnson. It's about a favor he asked J.J. Abrams, which was to change something at the end of The Force Awakens.
Oh.
This mother... What balls does this motherfucker have? Rian Johnson went up to J.J. Abrams and said, hey, you know, you're directing your own Star Wars movie, J.J. Abrams. Could you change just one little thing? I hope you don't mind. I just directed Looper. Like, and you're J.J. Abrams. I'm not trying to talk shit about Rian Johnson. I just think that... I just love that he... Well, he had the balls to do that. To me, that shows that this is a good director who's going to fight for this series and this franchise and has a vision. Mm. So for that alone, I'm like, yeah, go. What balls? I'm like, yeah, go Rian Johnson. Here's what he asked to change. Yes, .. The big favor was I asked if R2 could come with Rey and if BB-8 could stay behind with the Resistance.
Mm.
Johnson says... originally, it was BB-8 who went with Rey, which makes sense for the story in a way, but I asked, can you do me this solid and switch the droids? Oh, I love it. Nerds are directing Star Wars movies. I mean, George Lucas was a nerd when he was directing them, but like now they're Star Wars nerds directing Star Wars. It's like, hey, can we just swap droids, bro? Like, no problem, man. So, and it makes sense. I can see that as far as like, if R2 has been, what do you call it, estranged from Luke Skywalker for so long, if Luke sees R2 after so many years, he's going to be like, holy shit, there's R2 again. Like, and like, he'll be emotionally touched by that, dude. R2 fought with him fucking in the trenches of the Death Star to take it out.
Right.
R2 was by his side at Dagobah when he was training with Yoda. Mm-hmm. R2 was with him through everything.
Right.
And he even abandoned R2. So to bring R2 back to that island, what was it, Planet Dublin? Planet Ireland?
Planet Ireland.
It was Planet Ireland. That's where the Jedi are from. Because they filmed it on that Ireland. He goes on to say, to switch the droids. Johnson didn't go into much detail about why that was necessary, but our postulation, I think, may have kind of... But we imagine it has to do with his connection to Luke. So that makes sense. Speaking of which, Johnson also gave a little tidbit about Luke, who at the end of The Force Awakens, which is being called TFA, was simply a grimacing hermit. He says, figuring out where his head was at was the very first thing I had to do in writing this movie. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Luke Skywalker, 30 years later, or 20 years later, or however long. Right. Holy fuck. What has he been through? He is the last Jedi. And we kind of got an idea of The Force Awakens that, yeah, he was, you know, training a new crop of Jedi to go fight the Sith, and that was all going to happen. Like, we knew, we got that through The Force Awakens, and then Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren, like, went and fucking killed all his Jedi Academy. And then Luke went and estranged himself, and we're all like, why? From everyone. Why? Yeah. And he, like, you know, Rian Johnson went... Like, that was the first thing. He's like, where is Luke now as a Jedi? Like, why would he, like, after everything that happened, after his academy was destroyed by his own student, who is, like, his nephew, who is related to his dad, you know? It's like, that's going to fuck with him. His own nephew turned to the dark side like his father did and destroyed the Jedi Academy like his father did. Mm. And it was his nephew, and he was trying to, like, he's probably got to feel some sort of, like, oh, man. Like, I fucked that up real bad. I fucked that up real bad. I turned him into my dad. Oh, no, I turned him into Darth Vader. And that was... Oh, no wonder Luke exiled himself. He's, like, guilt, shame-ridden. Mm. Fuck, it makes sense. And then those three planets being blown up, he's probably like... I'm surprised he hasn't taken a blaster and just, you know, like, at this point with this character development. Because the Luke Skywalker I know... growing up would have like been there on the, what was it, planet Starkiller base, but it was a planet, and he would have been there when that lightsaber was wiggling, and he would have like grabbed it and said no more, you know, this ends now, like, and he would have tried to like push Kylo Ren away. I really feel like that would have happened in The Force Awakens, honestly. I feel like because you would have needed Luke in that moment to sort of, but what they were doing was they were trying to solidify Daisy Ridley as a badass. So if Luke would have shown up to save her in that moment, like, the fans would have been like, yeah, but like, for other people would have been like, who are invested in the story, they would have been like, wait a minute, but why, but she wasn't strong enough to take him on? Like, that's not right. Like, she needs to be the new badass. Or maybe it's a part of her character. Maybe this is like, we're going to get more answers in the second one as to why she's so fucking powerful. And maybe that's why, another reason why Luke is like staying away from her. He's like, whoa, She's powerful as shit. This is all speculation, guys. We don't know what the fuck's going on with the Last Jedi. But honestly, I can't wait for Last Jedi. I was always ambivalent to the episode 7. I didn't hate most of it when I saw it. I mean, like, I liked Rey, Finn, and Poe and the character dynamics between the two. But I loved the trailer for The Last Jedi. And, Johnson, everything that he's been saying about this movie and about this film, I'm loving it. Right. Everything that he's been on record saying, it's awesome. So I'm nothing but hyped about it. And let's just hope Disney doesn't get skittish and we start hearing news about reshoots.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't want to hear, Last Jedi reshoots. Oh, we're adding. But, here's the thing. They're doing a trilogy and they've got this plan. So, they've got, a few other, they got another one at least. One more after this, right? So, they're probably going to just start filming it, as soon as they can.
Right, because, right.
I mean, it's already, they did that after The Force Awakens. As soon as The Force Awakens, wrapped and, they started filming episode 8. The Last Jedi. As soon as it ended, they started filming the next one. So, they're probably already, starting the next one, prepping it, pre-production. They probably are filming bits of it already. God damn it. I'm happy with that. I'm right. excited. Hearing all of that, Armando, going on at length, what do you think about the information given from Rian Johnson, director of the film, swapping the droids? And having the balls to say to J.J. Abrams, I want to make a change to your fucking movie, dude. That's I mean, come on.
Wait, did he know then that he was going to be involved?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I mean, he was pretty much signed on towards the tail end.
I think that's what I would do, too.
Yeah, right? Be like, hey, look, I have this idea for the sequel. And apparently J.J. Abrams wanted to do the second script more than the first script because he liked the second one better.
Right.
But Disney's like, please just make a really, really good first one and reboot it for us. You did a great Star Trek reboot and it started a whole, please just do it. And he's like, all right, fine. Fuck it. I'll do it. Yeah. I want to do the second one. Maybe I'll come back for the third. I don't know. It's just that's my JJ. he just seems like he's always busy and always thinking about things. He's just always bothered by something. I don't know. I'm really busy. Let me get to work. I got to get back to work. He seems like he's just got to get back to work all the time. Every interview I've seen with him, every time he's been on anything, he's just like, I want to get this over with and get back to work.
Okay.
It's like, whoa, all right, man. You don't have to be here. You're J.J. Abrams. Yeah, but I want to promote this, but I want to get back to work. It's like, all right. He's like, what are you doing? I almost said Palm Pilot. That's how old I am. I'm on my Palm Pilot.
Palm Pilot.
What? I've been working so hard, I haven't upgraded my technology.
Oh, my Tamagotchi died.
My Tamagotchi's dead. Oh, I neglected it. 90s references. Millennials look up Tamagotchi. And Neo Geo.
It's coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back. No. A
it
fucking
is.
App?
I heard it was.
This is stupid.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. It's an app. Okay.
Well, so what do you think? I mean, I mean, it does make sense. And if you were coming in, you're like, hey, look, I'm going to be doing the sequel to this movie. Mm. So could you not fuck me with the droids? could you swap out the droids?
Don't fuck me.
Don't fuck me on the sequel, J.J.
Abrams.
Don't fuck me in the ass and call it Star Wars. That's not what Star Wars is about. At least not to me. At least not in my canon.
Is that what you are too? You want to fuck me in the asshole?
Is that what you want to do, JJ? You just want to fuck me in the asshole with your fucking droids?
Yeah, you can go right ahead and fuck me in the asshole,
well,
JJ.
Just go right ahead and fuck me. Yeah, go ahead, you fucking dick, you piece of shit. But goddamn, you made a good movie. You're a loose cannon, Abrams, but I'll give it to you. You made a goddamn good movie, but quit fucking me in the ass with the droids. That's Rian Johnson. No, actually, he's such a sweet man in his interviews, and he's such a uber fan that I'm sure when he went up to JJ, he was like, hey, look, man, I'm such a nerd, but could I, Mr. Abrams, sir? And he's like, what? Could you just swap the droids? He's like, yeah, okay. It's not a problem. Sweet, thanks. He's like, you mean you just want BB-8 and R2 to switch? Yeah. All right, it's the end of the movie anyway. I'm moving on. All right, it's fine. Cool. Thanks, man. Whatever. And he walks off. I'm going to go make $1 billion. It's like, I don't give a shit. Bye. Peace out, Star Wars. But I'm looking forward to The Last Jedi and Rian Johnson. I don't want to talk shit about him. We're just making fun. We're just being fans. We're excited about it. Like, we're just looking forward to it. Luke's back. Yay. Luke's back. Any other final thoughts about the article moving forward about The Last Jedi?
About The Last Jedi?
Yeah, it sounds like everything we've been hearing, it sounds like they're doing, we keep hearing the words different take.
Good.
Different take. What do you think?
I like it. I think it's good.
Time, right?
It's good that they're taking risks. I'm going to get shit for this, but I think The Force Awakens was too much like the original.
What they were doing with The Force Awakens was a soft reboot.
Yeah, basically.
And I was okay with the soft reboot. Were you not okay with that?
No, I mean, I'm okay with it.
Do you think
it
made
sense? Good, and it was a good movie.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think
in,
it makes sense.
In a way, it made sense, but I mean, I would rather they not have gone that route.
Yeah, I know, but they were trying to bring back the old fans and get the new fans,
right.
So they were kind of trying to touch on both, which I felt they did very well doing that. But as a Star Wars fan, I wish they would have just got into it, you know?
Yeah, just get into
just
it.
Just get into it, man. Come on. We know what's going on. It's Star Wars.
Yeah, life goes on.
Yeah,
you know?
But I think they...
And the new people can watch the old movies.
But that's the thing. It's like a superhero movie, right? You got to do an origin story.
Right.
And then the second movie is when all the fun happens. I'm banking on that. But here's the thing. I didn't think The Force Awakens was bad. I did not enjoy it. Out of all the Star Wars movies, I'd say it's either second or third favorite. Empire Strikes Back will always be number one, obviously. But when it comes to Force Awakens, honestly, it might be third. Second or third for me as far as favorites go. Hmm. You know, Phantom Menace is clearly number two. Sorry, I had to just throw that quick burn. Obviously, it's Attack of the Clones. No. Man, why do I got to rip on the prequels? It's over. Let them go, Mike. All right. Speaking of...
No!
Never let it go. That'll be $10 billion for Mr. James Earl Jones.
Yep, we blew our budget with that.
But that's all they spent that money on was just to get James Earl Jones to go, I'm not doing it. No, I'm working for CNN now. Fuck off. This is CNN. Luke, I am your father. It's like, all right, come on, just come back and say Padme. What happened to Padme? And it's like, no, I won't say that. Well, then, will you just say, is Padme okay? Yes, I'll say that. And will you say no? How long? At least 7 to 8 seconds. Fine. I want $10 billion. James Earl fucking Jones, goddammit. All right. That's literally all he said. Hmm. No, I think he said Padme. Is she okay?
Sorry, but she's dead. She died. You killed her.
He pretty much said that.
Yeah.
That's almost the dialogue verbatim.
Right.
And then literally he breaks his restraints. Psh, psh. No! And then everything crushes in. And I'm like, eh.
James Earl Jones actually recorded that?
Yes, he did.
He was probably like...
That's why I said he was
probably like,
$10 billion.
Hey, you're not actually going to use that.
This isn't going to be used, is it? This is ridiculous. It's just, I was saying no for too long. Shouldn't I have just like been like... Aah! Just like... No, no. George Lucas comes in. No, you should say no. Just say no and scream. Fine. That's why it was so passionless. When you hear it. Man, we're still ripping on it. Let's move along. Moving along. Next story. All right. Here's a little trippy, like, fusion movie, I'm calling it. I'm calling it a fusion movie.
Fusion movie.
H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds is well over 100 years old at this point. Fuck, I didn't know that. War of the Worlds is over 100 years old? Damn.
It was on the radio, yeah.
Yeah, but very few of the adaptations of the classic sci-fi novel, as well as the audio drama that Orson Welles did back in the day.
That caused mass hysteria.
Yeah, which was awesome. Yes. Like farmers were running around with shotguns, like, where the fucking aliens at? And then, years later, oh no. Anyway, get this. The BBC wants to take The War of the Worlds and do an adaptation in the Victoria era setting. BBC, you're fucking cool as shit. You want to take War of the Worlds and put it in a Victorian era setting? London? You mean robots and... people in like dresses and suits and top hats and
my word,
my word, what is that, Bartleby? I don't know, Jerome, but we have to tell the Queen immediately. Your Majesty, we've seen some...
Where's Nigel?
I don't know, but we have to find Keith. You mean Keith? Yes, I mean Keith. We are English, after all. Oi, Keith, what's that up in the sky? Well, the Cockneys are the lower class. Oi, what's that up there? It looks like a flying disc of some sort, as if a saucepan could fly, like a flying saucepan.
Spiling
saucepan? A flying saucepanner. It's a flying saucepanner, it is. BBC, if you make this a comedy, all right. All right. No, but the series will be adapted by Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell writer Peter Harness and is expected to begin filming early next year. Harness says that he feels phenomenally lucky to be writing The War of the Worlds and blowing up gigantic swaths of the home countries at the dawn of the 20th century. Yes, dude. Yes. I'm so... These guys, I'm down. I'm down. Little is known about just how they will tackle the series at this time, but Harness adds that H.G. Wells' novel is ground zero for all modern science fiction. Thanks for that statement on a personal level as a nerd. I'm grateful for that. He goes on to say, and like all the best sci-fi, it manages to sneak in some pretty astonishing comments on what it is to be a human being, too. Well put. I'm hoping to follow in the great man's footsteps by making a terrifying Martian-packed series which manages to be emotional, characterful, and deep breath, dare I say it, even political at the same time. You know, the BBC tends to make TV shows that matter and are relevant. Like, they'll make, like take Doctor Who. Like, they'll make Doctor Who, but Doctor Who is, like, he's a superhero, basically. He's a hero. He can't die. He just regenerates, turns into, like, it's when the actor wants to leave, he turns into a new guy. But he never uses a gun. He never kills, and he never fights, and he never throws a punch. Like, maybe he threw a punch once or twice just to throw somebody off, just to get arrested, but that was just
so
to throw...
That's kinda, so this was, like, pre-MacGyver.
Yeah, it was, like, pre-MacGyver. It's like, I don't want to kill anyone, I don't want to hurt anyone, but I'm going to use my mind to get out of this situation. I'm going to use clever ways of figuring out how to get out of this. And that's great. Like, this is a hero that's so brave, he doesn't need a weapon, he doesn't need to fight or hurt anyone. All he needs to do is run away and regroup. He just runs away, hides, regroups, comes up with a strategy, goes back, and just walks right in the middle of the floor and says, "Hey, what's going on, guys?" And they're like, "What the fuck? We're going to kill you." He's like, "Go ahead." Because he wants them to, because he knows if they do that, it'll cause the airlock to open and suck them out into space while he's got a force field around him. Brilliance! You've done it again, Doctor! That's what I'm saying. The BBC, they get it. They know how to tackle social issues. They know how to be relevant. And they know how to make great social commentary. And so I'm grateful that they've got the guys from Jonathan Strange, Mr. Norrell, Peter Harness to be working on this. This is going to be fantastic. I loved War of the Worlds. I love the Orson Welles radio drama as well. The book is fantastic by H.G. Wells. Yeah, to hear, how, like, this guy is so, he seems so respectful to the source material, you know? He's showing reverence and appreciation to it. I'm really excited about it. And to see it happening in Victorian era London, like... That's good, and the fact that he's excited about blowing it up, he's that excited about it too.
Yeah, the aliens are really gonna fuck stuff up.
Yeah, because they didn't have shit back then.
Yeah,
did they even have muskets?
Probably had muskets.
They had muskets and cannons.
They probably had, like, those one-shot pistols.
Yeah, they had, like, the single, like, the flintlock pistol, that piece of shit. Yeah, they're probably going to have to, like, oh, man, this is steampunky.
Did they have the thing where you, like put the gunpowder in and then you pack it down?
Yeah, that's the musket.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the musket. And then there's the one, the big, you mean the big one that looked like a trumpet at the end? That's a blunderbuss. The blunderbuss is the one that has the big, it looks like a trumpet.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally, it's designed so you can put gunpowder in and throw other shit in there. And just makes
just like
it,
whatever.
Literally, that's what the blunderbuss is, because you would just load it with gunpowder, pack the gunpowder in, and then you'd throw in like marbles or rocks or what the
so
fuck ever.
Anything just, laying around.
Fuck you. Like, it was just designed to just bam. Like,
wow.
In a pinch. You
never have to pay for ammo.
Yeah, you basically, well, gunpowder.
Yeah,
you need gunpowder. But you wouldn't need the like ball bearings. You'd literally just need like
that,
anything.
Yeah, that would save on weight.
Well, they have airsoft guns now, so, you know, it's pretty much the same diff. It's just, you know, know, like the blunderbuss wouldn't really kill anybody. I mean, it would just it would just hurt the fuck out of people. Like if you were like close enough to it, it would kill you, especially if there were like forks and knives jammed into it. Like, because then that would be like, boom. But they would have like those kinds of weapons. But the thing is, not to be spoilery about War of the Worlds, but Victoria era in London was disgusting. There's a lot of disease and bacteria and viruses. That's all I'm going to say. Because remember in War of the Worlds...
They didn't have as good of a science.
Yeah, but remember in War of the Worlds, the aliens died because humanity's viruses? Because humanity had... We had germs and viruses and disease. Victorian era London had nothing but disgust. Like, it was nothing but Black Plague and fucking... that's how we're going to win biological warfare. We're just going to take our dead... Plague the dead black.
Lend me your ears. Everyone start.
Hear ye. Take your dead and fling them over the town wall at the aliens. Literally.
If you have feces.
If you have feces. All any kind of allergy contagion. They won't know what that is. They'll just be like, look, it seems that they die when the Black Plague people go near them. So let's throw the dead bodies at them. And so literally, that's going to be their biological warfare. It's just going to. Oh God! it's like dead bodies just being like catapulted at alien warships and just I'm just saying, ugh. And the aliens are like, what are they doing? They're throwing their dead at us. Why? I don't know. It's creepy.
That's disgusting.
Is it psychological warfare? Are they fucking with us? These guys are fucked up. And it's like, are you? What's wrong? I don't know. I don't feel so good. Oh, no. Oh, God. And then they crash the ship. That's pretty much how it happens, right? I mean, the War of the Worlds, not to spoil it, but it's been out for over 100 fucking years. So read a
spoiler.
You know what? Read a fucking book. How about that? this book's been out for over 100 years. If you don't know what War of the Worlds is about and if you don't know how it ends, go. It's a classic. Read this fucking book, man. Sorry, if you're a nerd, you should read it. That's all I'm saying. I don't mean to be such a dick about it. But don't take our word for it. Go read it yourself. Reading Rainbow. Which is back. Thanks nice. To the people. Reading Rainbow is back. LeVar Burton fought for it. And now
is LeVar Burton in it?
LeVar Burton is in it.
What?
He spearheaded the production. He is running it. He's calling the shots. And Reading Rainbow is back on public television.
Oh, my God.
It's got a web series.
Now he really is that
dude,
show.
Dude, like, and they had to get, like, $2 million. And they got, like, it was like they got $10 million. Because people were like, it's fucking Reading Rainbow, dude. Yeah. Of course we'll give you money. We grew up on Reading Rainbow. And LeVar Burton telling us about books and the excitement of reading. So, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I'm glad it's back. So don't just take our word for it. Go check out Reading Rainbow, which is back on the internet now. All right, we can't use the actual sound effect because the sound effect, I think, is copywritten. So out of respect for Reading Rainbow, we won't do it. But check out War of the Worlds and check out this new series on BBC America when it comes out, because that's what will be coming out to us. We don't know when, but they're still working on it. We're excited. Armando Arondo, final thoughts on this sort of fusion sci-fi TV series.
Yes.
It's fascinating, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, that's it'll be weird, right?
It's going to be freaky, man. Yeah. Like cuz the like doc like Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell or whatever was a very trippy like Victorian era magic sort of related show. And it was very funny, dark humor, but it got really like crazy and weird. So madcap humor. So the guy who's involved with this is going to make it pretty... It's going to get pretty weird.
Yeah.
So is this something that you'd be willing to watch?
Yeah, I'd be willing to watch.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I had no idea it was, you know...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if they put out a good trailer.
Yeah, we got to see. Let's wait for the trailer. Yeah, and if you put out a good trailer, we'll do a reaction to it, and we'll let you guys know if it's worth watching. So you should take our word for it. Ba-dum-bum. If you've been craving a comedy in which Melissa McCarthy investigates... oh, my God. This is something I've been waiting for years, and I'll get into that in a minute.
All right.
If you've been craving a comedy in which Melissa McCarthy investigates a series of brutal murders alongside a puppet, then today is certainly your lucky day, motherfuckers. STX Entertainment have announced that McCartney is set to star in The Happy Time Murders, a dark comedy set in the underbelly of Los Angeles where humans and puppets coexist. This is a movie that they've been trying to make for 10 years.
Really?
The Happy Time Murders.
What?
The Jim Henson Company is producing this. Yeah, that's right. The Jim Henson Company.
Wow.
They are making this. They've been trying to make this for years. It's basically, this is a, it's a grown-up version of the Muppets.
Right.
Where literally it's dark comedy, but with like Muppet characters. So, but we're not going to get Kermit and Miss Piggy. These are going to be original characters made for that universe that they're creating. Right. So it's going to be a Muppet spin-off franchise for grown-ups called The Happy Time Murders. And okay. So basically, it'll follow two clashing detectives, one human, one puppet, and there's going to be some, you know, obviously some right. tension there, who are forced to work together in order to try and solve the murder of who is brutally murdering the former cast of the Happy Time Gang, a beloved classic puppet show. When a really good script combines puppet strippers, Los Angeles underbelly, and comedy, it's like my fever dream has come true. Finally, said Melissa McCarthy in STX's press release. The Happy Time Murders is set to begin production this August and will be directed by Brian Henson. Jim Henson's son, Brian Henson, is going to be directing it.
Yeah.
He took over the Jim Henson Company, so he's going to be directing it.
Great.
Dude. Wow, I'm so glad Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son, is doing this. He has a and he does the voice for Kermit and a few others as well. Melissa McCarthy is the reigning queen of comedy right now, and we believe she will make The Happy Time Murders the kind of hysterical, edgy, viral event that audiences today crave. This is the kind of script and material that was made for Melissa's smart and boundary-pushing sensibilities. Having worked with her years ago on Bridesmaids and Identity Thief, I could not be more delighted or excited to be working with her again, said Adam Fogelson, CEO of STX Films, in a press release. So he's very excited about working with her again and thinks that she'd be perfect for it. Brian Henson added that Melissa and Ben's brand of humor is infectiously unique. I am thrilled to be partnering with them and STX Films on the Happy Time Murders. Puppet murders, man. What the fuck? I'm aware that not everyone is down with Melissa McCartney's particular brand of comedy. What?
Who?
Brian Henson? Don't say that. What the fuck? This is a press release, Brian Henson. Oh, it's because it's... Oh, he's trying to protect the Muppet brand, and like they think like Melissa McCartney, she's too edgy. She's too dirty for the Muppets or whatever.
Really?
But the plot of this is dirty anyway, so
right. It's
okay. Like, he's trying to save face for the Henson Company, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he goes on to say, I'm not that aware. I'm sure he's just doing damage control for McCartney's involvement because there might be some parents like, wait, that's not cool.
Wait, this doesn't sound like a movie. Like, is this a movie or a series?
This is a movie.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
But it's not going to be for kids, though, is it?
No. Again, like I said, this is going to be basically, this is a spin-off Muppets thing.
Right.
It's in the Muppets universe. Mm-hmm. But imagine if the Muppets were, like, in an alternate universe, it was like the Happy Time Gang.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like, and they were murdered, and they were real life, and puppets were real.
Right.
And they were murdered.
Right.
And these detectives have to go investigate that.
Right.
That's what this is.
How fucking cool is that? Sounds great.
Isn't that brilliant? I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around at first. I know I had to think about it a while when I first... They've been trying to make this for 10 years.
I'm more hyped for this than anything I heard today.
I know, right? Me too. Dude, I wish I would have talked to you about this like months ago because like they've been... Again, this is one of those... they have different... They have the red list, the black list, and the blue list in Hollywood for scripts. Mm. And this movie was on the red list and the blue list forever, like and the black list. Like they, not the black list, but they were trying to make this one forever, but they just couldn't get it done. And I think with Melissa McCartney's involvement, I think that really helped the studio be like, okay, we have a star to attach to this that works for this movie. And we've got the director who's worked with her before.
Isn't the story supposed to be edgy to begin with?
That's my whole point.
So
is
what's
like
the problem?
Like, well, no, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, well, I'm trying to defend Brian Henson in that because it's the Henson Company,
right.
And this is the first time that they're doing something like this.
Well, I mean,
they've never done anything this like this fucking adult before, man.
Right?
Like this is murder, puppet strippers.
I mean,
like, I mean, come on.
Well, I thought you were going to say dark. I mean, like, it's just like, no, Henson went dark before. Jim Henson went dark before.
No,
like,
this is
towards the, you know, towards later years of his life.
Oh, yeah. Like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and, yep. and things like that. But and the Storyteller series. Amazing Stories, or
was it Amazing Stories?
Something like that.
Or I think it was the Storyteller. I think
Jim Henson had this like great series that he worked on, or was that Steven Spielberg? No, it was Jim Henson. Right? Yeah. He had this. It was a storyteller series that Jim Henson worked on. God, it was awesome. Go YouTube that. Go find that on Netflix if it's anywhere. I can't remember it. God damn it, it's worth a watch. But yeah, I think Brian Henson was just because this is the first time that they're really tackling something that involves sex. Murder, killing, swearing with Muppets.
Yeah.
Now, that's not Kermit and Miss Piggy Muppets. They're different Muppets, but they're made by the Jim Henson Company, and it's being directed by Brian Henson. Right. So he's doing early damage control, saying, I'm aware that not everyone is down with Melissa McCartney's particular brand of comedy, but the Happy Time Murders sounds like it could be a lot of fun. If not, well, then I can also watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit again. Okay. So Brian Henson is being a little snippy here.
Yeah.
Interesting. He's probably just being really defensive about it right now, you know?
Yeah.
He's probably like, look, guys, we're doing something that is a passion project. He spent a decade trying to make this fucking movie.
Right.
He's probably just like, fuck, let me make this thing finally. I know not everyone's going to get off my back. Look, I know it, on paper it doesn't make sense, but when you watch it, it'll make sense. Trust me. And it's like, I get it. We as nerds get it.
Right.
But the studio, they're like, what? You want Muppets killing people and stripping, and this is for children. What are you doing? It's like, no, it's for grown-ups, because the grown-ups grew up on the Muppets, but now they can watch it and look. It's like Sausage Party. Like that movie, Sausage Party, where, like, you know, it was like a CGI animated, it looked like a kid's movie, but there was like cursing and weird shit going on. That was brilliant. That was great. Like, that was a great misdirection. It looked like a Pixar movie, but then it got fucked up. Like, what the hell? Did they just swear? Like, is there weird racial tension going on? Like, what is this movie about? And it was kind of about life in general. It represented a little bit of everything.
About the human condition.
And then that was another movie that took 10 years to make for Seth Rogen. Took him 9 to 10 years to make Sausage Party, too. So these original concepts, it's like it takes the studio forever to be like, all right, fine. Fucking fine. We'll do your dumb movie. And then it comes out and people are like, wow, it really paved the way for other new cool shit.
Right.
Come on, man. Come on. We should do a segment called Come On, Hollywood. It should just be the whole time we just bitch about the industry. That's pretty much what our nerd update is anyway. Anyway, moving along, guys. So what do you think? I mean, final thoughts. This sounds dope, right?
Yeah.
Other than Brian Henson's sort of weird. No offense, Brian Henson, but that was kind of, I don't know, defensive?
Yeah. Stop being defensive.
Dude, we're on your side. We want you to make the best Happy Time Murders movie you can. Who Framed Roger Rabbit was a great movie. So if that's the kind of vein you're going for with this film, but maybe a little bit edgier and darker.
Yep.
Fuck yeah, dude. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. I am down. There's and with puppets, you can do some pretty fucking crazy, funny shit.
Yeah,
you can get away with so much with puppets. It's a puppet.
You could get really dark, but and if you make it like
social commentary,
like really cute at the same time,
if you make
it would
super
be
cute,
like
it'd be so fucked up. Oh my god, he died in the cutest way possible. Oh my god, it's the cutest way something could die. It was just, I had too much honey. I had too much honey. I'm diabetic. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, there's so many ways you could take it in.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we're down for that. Brian Henson, don't worry. It's going to be fine, man. You're the shit, and we believe in you. So you don't have to be so butthurt. Don't be so butthurt, Brian Henson. And by the way, great job on Labyrinth. He did the voice of Hoggle. In Labyrinth. And a lot of the voices of the Fieries, the little guys who run around and sing that song, pop their heads off. Hey, lady, where are you going with a head like that? Hey, her head don't come off. It was awesome. To this day, I still listen to the Labyrinth soundtrack. Did you know that Prince was going to be the David Bowie's part in Labyrinth? Prince turned it down.
That fits.
Prince turned it down. Michael Jackson turned it down. Sting turned it down. But you know who said yes? David fucking Bowie. Sting, Prince, Michael Jackson turned it down, but David Bowie said, yeah, all right, I'll do it. It sounds crazy enough. Can I show me dick off?
Well, all right. Well, I guess you could show your dick off.
Great. I'm in. You know this is a children's movie. Oh, well, you probably shouldn't focus too much on it then. Meanwhile, every shot, crotch, 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 crotch. David Bowie's crotch. That should be a song, David Bowie's crotch, to honor him.
And again, guys, don't forget, David Bowie and Prince, they have not died. They've merely just changed forms and become the guardians of our universe, okay?
Oh, okay.
So now, yeah, Prince and David Bowie are on opposite ends of the Earth, and they're sort of, yeah, they're just satellites for our planet. Don't worry, they're still alive. They're working together making awesome music in space. In another dimension. So don't feel bad. Don't be sad. So with decades of subpar video game adaptations behind us, we're still awaiting that elusive film which will break the so-called video game movie curse. That hasn't stopped Hollywood from attempting to exploit a large variety of popular video game properties, including Gears of War franchise. That's right. New Line Cinema picked up the rights.
What?
For Gears of
Gears
War.
Gears of War.
Gears of War. Yeah. They're going to make.
Fuck you.
Like they got, but they got this, they got the, they acquired the rights 10 years ago. So it was 10 years ago.
Wow. They acquired the rights when the video game came out, basically.
Dude, right when it came out. And they even got Len Wiseman, Live Free or Die Hard, to direct the project after years in development hell 10 years ago. Again, another 10-year project, dude.
Wow.
New Line had to let go of the rights to Gears of War, which were later picked up by Universal Studios. So now it was announced last year that a Gears of War movie was in development. So last year it was announced that they were going to make a Gears of War movie. But now Deadline has reported that the project is moving forward with Shane Salerno tackling scripting duties. For the past several years, Salerno has been working with James Cameron on crafting the 4 Avatar sequels. Uh-oh. Wait a minute, Armando. That's why it's been taking 10 years for this fucking Gears of War movie. God damn it, James Cameron, you son of a bitch. Make the fucking Avatar movies. Just put them out. No, we don't really want to see them, but just get them over with, because we could have had a Gears of War movie 10 years ago. God damn it.
Spend $10 billion and put it on VOD.
This guy has been spending the past several years writing the 4 Avatar sequels with Cameron, probably in a diving pod deep beneath the sea with SpongeBob SquarePants. Jesus Christ. Oh God. He's also known for scripting Aliens versus Predator Requiem. Okay, here's the thing about Aliens versus Predator Requiem. I've seen it. Mm. I liked it because it was one Predator versus all of like a bunch of aliens. Mm. The other one was a bunch of Predators versus a bunch of aliens. Predator, it doesn't work that way. Predator goes off on their own. Aliens tend to multiply. Mm. The Predators always show up at the end to collect the, you know, like the bones and the skulls for the prizes, you know. Right. But the aliens just always multiply. The Predator is all about self-sufficient, hunter, survivor. I'm on my own. I'm out hunting. This is like a part of our space culture, our Predator culture.
Well, yeah. That, I mean,
it's a ritual.
Yeah. Ritual? Yeah.
Well, it's ritualistic, and it's also it's fun. They go to other planets and hunt.
Like, yeah, it's like sport.
But yeah, it's a part of their culture. It's like Klingons to an extent, you know, like where it's like a warrior race. It's a hunting race. When it comes to Aliens versus Predator Requiem, I enjoyed it because it was a lone wolf predator versus one alien that multiplied into several other aliens, obviously. Mm. Well, I mean, there was, you know, the face hugger. All it takes is one fucking face hugger, man, and it fucks everything up.
Fuck up your whole planet.
Fucks up the whole thing. But no, thank God the lone wolf predator was there, because he fought all the aliens and it was really cool. So actually, I liked it more than Aliens, like Alien versus Predator. Aliens versus Predator Requiem is a far superior movie to that other Aliens movie versus Predator. Just so you guys know. I mean, again, that's my own nerdy personal opinion. What the fuck ever. But let's get back to Gears of War being developed into a movie. Now, okay, So yeah, he did. Shane Salerno did write Aliens vs. Predator Requiem, which a lot of people are like, fuck that movie. I thought it was good. But and he has been working with James Cameron for several years on the four Avatar sequels. God damn, there's so much going on. He's also done Savages. He did the Shaft remake. Salerno is also attached to pen the script for Ridley Scott's adaptation of Don Winslow's The Cartel. Damn, that's a lot. So Rod Ferguson, studio head of game developer The Coalition, has said that the film would not be based on any particular game and would instead be a new story set in the Gears of War universe. That's fine. There's a lot of... There's four of them right now. There's four Gears of Wars. You'd have to...
Well, I mean...
Just take the best elements from those games and make a good movie.
Exactly. You're
a fan of those games.
Yeah,
we've played them on the show.
Yeah.
We have Let's Plays for Gears of War 4, by the way. Go check them out. It's on our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike. We, Armando and I versus the giant crab monster.
Yeah.
And then Armando and I versus the giant plasma beam from the sky.
Yeah, a lot of giant stuff in there.
And then we've Mike and Armando versus gamer tag issues. that was a problem. God damn, that took hours. Yeah, this is something that when it comes to making video games always don't translate well into movies. But if you take the best elements from all four of the games,
I wish I could.
Yeah, what?
I wish I could have my hand in like making like game movies. You know, I mean, like
for
that's
you,
not
a, Gears, how would you do a Gears of War movie? Like, well, I mean, using all four of the games.
No, I mean, it was just...
Like, no, I'm just saying,
all,
like...
All
like,
four?
Like, what would make you happy? Like, what elements would you pull from all the games to sort of make a cohesive story that all the people could sort of get behind? Like, something like...
Well, at least specifically for Gears of War, I mean, it's basically... It's just basically a gritty war movie.
It's a gritty war movie, but in the future.
Gritty war movie in the future.
So, kind of like... Oh, my God. The Tom Cruise movie where Live, Die, Repeat. I always forget the actual name of it because I always call it Live, Die, Repeat. But it's the movie where he keeps dying and coming back to life over and over again in the future during a war. Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. So, but it had the same like elements. It felt like a gritty like war movie, but it was just in the future. I would say Rogue One was like that, but Armando hated Rogue One, so I won't say that. But if you liked Rogue One was like a gritty sci-fi war movie where there were elements of Saving Private Ryan also as elements of Star Wars. So I would be cool for that with Gears of War as a movie.
Yeah, I mean that's basically what the game is like.
It follows a soldier who's going
and just
into battle.
Yeah, a soldier or two or a few.
Yeah, like a platoon of soldiers. Yeah, a group.
But yeah, for any game movie, just like look at the fucking source material.
Yeah, there's plenty of it. play the games.
Yeah, play the fucking.
Sit down
game.
And play the fucking game.
It looks
and then
like
write
it,
the
it,
script.
It looks like so many fucking people didn't play
I know.
The fucking game.
Resident Evil.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. They like.
Oh, let's not get into that director.
You know what? There's no point in even getting into that franchise because it is the most amazing franchise ever created, next to Fast and the Furious. After Fast and the Furious, it's the Resident Evil franchise. It's just they're too good.
Yeah.
And I kind of mean that. I mean, look, they've stuck it out, dude, and they've made billions of dollars.
Oh wait,
and
I was thinking about
out.
Something else though.
Not Resident Evil.
Maybe it was a Resident Evil.
Yeah, Resident Evil. Mila Jovovich.
Yeah. Resident Evil.
Noctogama.
Yeah,
Noctogama.
Those are
Fifth
some,
Element reference.
Those
you
are
guys.
Some good movies.
Yes.
But wasn't there? You remember Uwe Boll?
Uwe Boll. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sucked at everything.
Right.
Directing, writing. He made one decent movie I remember where it was about a guy who went on. It was called Rampage, I think. And this guy just went around and he decided to shoot up a town or some shit like that.
Oh, because I heard that was actually decent.
Here's the thing. It's a fucked up movie. Mm. The premise, the idea. But Uwe Boll actually did a good job directing that movie.
Mm.
Like, it was a fucked up movie, but he showed kind of like, it was sort of like a mirror to society. Like, fine. Mm. Like, this guy was like sick of society and he went around and just, it was fucked up and wrong, but like,
I guess he was the right director for that project.
Yeah, it really worked because like you almost felt sympathy for the guy, but you realized he was killing people and like you kind of part of you was kind of like, yeah, fuck the world. But then you're like, no, this is wrong. And even during the moments where this guy is going around killing people or he's like, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. But
was that Rampage or Postal?
Postal?
No.
No, Ramp.
Rampage?
Rampage, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, Postal is a different one. Mm-hmm. It's Rampage, trust me. Okay. I think it's Rampage. If not, it's Postal. Go check it out. Amazing movie. It teaches you what not to do, and it's a cautionary tale. And it also, it holds up a lot. God damn, I never thought I'd be talking about a Uwe Boll movie and like a wow, what a good movie. Wow, Uwe Boll made a good movie. Like, but it was, whatever it was called, Rampage or whatever. But don't get Uwe Boll for fucking Gears of War. For Gears of War, you need a goddamn Chris Nolan or a Ridley Scott or a... You know, not even
well,
that.
I mean,
like,
you don't even need somebody that good.
Why not? I'm sick of Hollywood being like, it's a fucking video game movie. You don't even need someone that good. Fuck that, dude. Well, how come movies that are made out of books get awesome directors?
I'm just saying, movies
that are made out of any other source material, comic books, get awesome directors, awesome talent. Mm. Video game movies aren't treated with the same fucking reverence, and yet people are just as touched by the video games as they are by movies, sometimes even more, because it's a personal experience. You feel like you're going on that journey in the video game, and that storyline, you feel like you're there, you're with that character, and it's you.
Right.
And you're dealing with it. So why don't they treat it with the same fucking reverence that they do with, like, I don't know, fucking... War of the Worlds, and I know it's like, what, you want Mario Brothers to be treated? Why not? Why the fuck not? What's so wrong with that, dude? In 10 years, 20 years, they're going to do it.
Hey, what's wrong with the original Mario Brothers movie?
Yeah, what's wrong with that one? Bob Hoskins is great. John Leguizamo's finest hour. Next to The Pest, which is an awesome movie. Go check it out. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's because I'm too old. For Gears of War, it's a sci-fi movie. Follow a group of soldiers going into battle against an enemy. Who's the enemy?
I forgot what they call themselves, but
it's gonna be. Don't make it too complicated for the audience.
They're underground people, basically.
Lizard people, not lizard people.
They kind of look like lizard people.
Mutant people.
They kind of look scaly.
Underground.
They kind of look like reptile-y and scaly, but like giant humans. Apparently, everybody's doing lots of steroids in the future because everybody looks jacked.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Nice. All right. Well, yeah.
And everybody has guns.
Well,
apparently,
the future sounds
apparently
dope.
There's like a lot of ammunition.
Hold on. You're telling me everyone's jacked and has guns in the future?
Yep.
Fuck yeah. I can't wait for the future. I don't care if I'm old. I'll go old man Logan style on it. I'll just burn myself out in a blaze of glory. And then last minute be like, oh, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's wartime, but somehow everybody consumes enough calories to be super jacked.
It's because they're on Soylent.
Soylent,
they
probably.
They take that Soylent shit. You don't have to eat food ever. You just drink Soylent, and that's it. You know, your nutrients and proteins and whatnot. I've been thinking about doing that for a month just to, like, do a documentary on it. I'm serious.
Soylent.
Let us know in the comments below if I should, for a month, do a Soylent diet where I just... I don't know, man. That might be bad for me.
I
shouldn't do that.
I think you will live, but you won't thrive.
I won't be happy. I'll live uncomfortably.
Yeah, yeah.
So fuck it.
I don't think it'd be too bad. But
we'll find somebody else to do it. We'll make them do it. But at the end of the day, when it comes to Gears of War, man, like, I just like, get a good director. Why not? Well, get Joss Whedon. Mm-hmm. Why not? After he's done with his horror movie about World War II, which he's working on, by the way, guys, Joss Whedon's doing a World War II horror movie. That sounds fucking cool as shit. Stay tuned for that. We'll keep you posted on it. But when it comes to this one, why not Joss Whedon? Mm. If not Joss Whedon, I would say the guy who did Sicario and the guy who's doing Blade Runner and the guy, but he's busy. He's got so much. He's doing Dune next.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm you're busy. I won't bother you with this one. How about Del Toro? Gears of War with Del Toro?
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, Del Toro can handle the grittiness of it. He can handle the characters, the creature effects.
A lot of grit. There's a lot of gore.
There we go. So they're underground mutant lizard type people. How long have they been there? Forever?
Yeah, I think like pretty much.
Because we're trying to sell this to an average audience.
Yeah, pretty much forever. And then they decided that they're just going to take over the surface.
And so they come up out of nowhere and decide to take over the surface.
And we're totally unprepared.
And we were unprepared. We didn't know they existed. And it was some sort of tectonic plates shifting or whatever. And one day they all broke free.
Yep.
And got out and decided to take over the surface world because there's more space up top and then the sun's out here too.
Yep.
We got the sun. They like that. It's like, yeah. Whoa, there's a sun? You mean there's a fucking sun? You didn't, you sons of bitches. It's like, we didn't know you were there. It's like, well, we're taking it over now. It's like, but we live up here.
We'll fix that.
We'll fix that now. Yeah. Okay, so that's how we sell it to people. Who do we get as the lead? Channing Tatum. No. No, not Channing Tatum.
I don't know. Everybody would just get the WWE.
Ooh, The Rock? What about The Rock? Or
The Rock.
Get The Rock.
The Rock could be in there.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Fucking whatever. John Cena. Like,
ooh, Dave Bautista.
Bautista.
Dude, I want Dave Bautista as the lead in the Gears of War movie because that guy in the game, he looks kind of like Batista. He's
right.
Really built and really like fucking jacked.
Right.
And he's got that armor on.
only the most jacked people can play in this movie.
Can be that role, yeah. To be that lead, the lead in that game. Because that all of them are jacked. Like, all of them.
Even the old dudes are
jacked. I think they bioengineered.
Even the fat guy's kind of jacked.
Even the fat guy was jacked. He had like a six pack and he was fat. He had a keg. He had a keg of muscle.
Keg of muscle.
In that
keg
fat.
Of muscle.
Under that fat's a keg of muscle. So yeah,
and I do my kegels.
Yeah, I think the thing is that like in the future to fight the enemies, they bioengineered the soldiers, and you could do a fun thing with that in the movie where they show the soldiers being bioengineered, like almost like Captain America style.
Right.
Like they go into a chamber and come out, and it's like, psh, yeah, ready to fight some Gears of War. But the chainsaw aspect of the fighting mechanic in the game was a fun thing.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really fun moment. Like the guy runs out of ammo and he's like, fuck, and he's surrounded by the enemy.
Oh, yeah, I have a chainsaw on my
Holy
gun
shit, there's like a chainsaw. Fuck it. And he's like, let's adapt, and improve. Let's improvise. And he takes everyone out, all the lizard people, with his chainsaw gun. Yes. Gears of War, make it happen. Del Toro, starring Dave Bautista. You're welcome, Hollywood. We just made this fucking movie for you. And that is how we're going to end this nerd update. Armando Aranda, out of all these nerdy stories, which one
Muppets.
Sticks out? Yeah. The Happy Time Murders?
Yes.
Yeah. That sticks out for me, too, actually. Also, the fact that Rian Johnson had the balls to go up to J.J. Abrams and be like, hey, bro, could you switch the droids? He's like, please, could you do it? It'd help my sequel out. Please, just do it. Yeah, right. Like, he made $4 billion.
Yeah.
$4 billion off of Star Wars The Force Awakens. Jesus.
Man, that money.
And
wow.
This sequel is going to probably make... It's going to make all the money. The world's going to be poor.
$4 billion? I mean, like,
what all the money from the world is going to go into The Last Jedi.
It's just like, I would buy my own island that flies in the sky.
Yeah. Oh, like... what is it called? Columbia in BioShock. If you've ever played the BioShock video games, there's this like city called Columbia that's like flying in the sky. That would be cool. I would buy my own flying city as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that, well, I guess we'll end it there. Rian Johnson had some pretty big balls, but you know what? That shows me that he's going to do a great job with The Last Jedi and the Star Wars movies. And also that the Happy Time Murders with Melissa McCartney, Brian Henson directing. You know, they've been trying to make this movie for 10 years. I'm looking forward to that as well. Make it so. But yeah, that's going to do it for your nerd update, guys. You have been thoroughly updated. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Like that Facebook page. And of course, download, like, and subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic. That website is www.yotina.podomatic.com. And go to our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike. That's right, Simmer Mike. All caps, no
spaces.
Like we're yelling at you. Simmer Mike. Simmer Mike. Plenty of trailer reactions and shit there. Go check it out. It's awesome. And if you have trouble finding us on iTunes, just type in Team Awesome Inc. You'll see the logo pop up. Bibbidi bobbidi boo. Team Awesome for you. That's our slogan now. We have four slogans.
All right.
Fuck it. And that's our other one. All right, guys. That's fuck it. That's it. Armando Aranda, as per usual, final thoughts.
Oh, I mean, it was fun talking about Gears of War.
Yeah, I hope they make a good one.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't suck.
Yeah, source material, guys. Source material.
And by the way, we'll have more Gears of War Let's Plays for you coming up this month. I promise. It's just been a lot of shit going on.
Don't make a promise you can't keep.
Oh, I'm keeping these promises, man, because there's some funny shit that these guys have to see you and me do. It's ridiculous. I promise you guys, but you're going to have to wait, unfortunately, until we can get those up. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, and peace out. Keep it nerdy. Right?
Yes.
Oh, no. We got to go, guys.
We got to go. All right.
Shit. This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome Inc. Wink, wink. Shut up. Yeah.